This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Deb Wolf. Yes, you are on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
And while I got up in the middle of the night because of coyotes last night, that's what woke me up. And they are so, so loud and aggressive. And they sing and they holler and they whine. And if you've never heard them, check it out online. Coyote sing song, coyote howling. Hear what it sounds like. Because a lot of us in rural areas are putting up with this every night. Especially in spring and fall, and sometimes not even that rural. The coyotes have done really well to adapt to human cities. And they're basically spread through all the parks. They use golf courses. They use rivers. All the places you're not allowed to fence off, they use those as their highways, basically. And they can travel. They like to feed at dawn and dusk, but they'll come out anytime there's a good meal. And I saw footage of a group of them bringing down a full-blown buck, a gigantic deer, male deer, antlers and all. Holy moly, it was rough. Anyway, watch out for the coyotes. They're after your little dogs and your little cats. They're even after your big dogs just to get rid of the competition. They got all kinds of things like heartworm and everything you don't want, difficult to cure manges and infections and parasites and everything your dog will get if he hangs out with them or near them. So keep them on leash. Don't let them frolic with the coyotes. All right. I wanted to talk about AI a little bit today because I had an AI experience that was a little bit alarming. I don't know how to use it. I don't use it to summarize write-ups or all the things people say you should use it for. But I do use it to identify things like plants and animals and things I don't recognize out when I'm out and about in the woods. And right now it's chanterelle season here in the Pacific Northwest, and they are the most delicious, beautiful mushrooms, and you have to hunt for them. And when you find them, you want to make sure they're not their doppelganger, the false chanterelle, right? Because they look almost the same and one makes you get a tummy ache and the other is delicious. So I'm often using my phone to make sure I've got the right thing. So I photograph a mushroom and I use AI and it tells me it's a pork hawk. Really, it does. A pork hawk. It's that wrong, which makes me realize that if you're out there foraging, don't use AI. You can use it for some information, but don't rely on whether something is safe to eat or deadly. Don't let AI make that distinction for you because it cannot tell a mushroom from a pork hawk. So when I saw that result, I thought, oh my goodness. And then I photographed a picture right out of a mushroom book. And again, if I did it a certain way, it thought it was a beef shoulder or a pork hawk. And then if I did it another way, it correctly identified it as the correct mushroom. So it was all about the angle. Well, how are you going to know that? So then I'm thinking, well, is AI good at anything? So I'd been singing with a gentleman on the weekend, and I thought, I'll just type in his name and ask AI, you know, what kind of music does this guy play? His name is David Pattison with one T. And he's really talented, and I'd never met him before, and I was singing with him. So I thought, oh, I'll just check him out. So I AI searched him, and what came up? It's ridiculous, really. What came up was that he sings with Janis Joplin cover singer Deborah Wolf. Okay, so once again, AI is not correct. He's had a long career without me. We just met. And I'm not a Janis Joplin cover singer. I have sung a couple of her songs. I'm working on a couple more. Maybe eventually I'll have four. But aside from Mercedes-Benz and Bobby McGee, I hardly ever do Janis Joplin. Hardly ever. So it would be more correct to call me some kind of other singer. So, and this poor fella, he just met me. His whole career was summarized in one line as if he was my backup singer, which he's not. So, yeah, AI, watch out. And if you're looking to identify animals and breeds and things like that, I'd say use more than one picture, use more than one source, because it's just not that correct. Humans are better than AI. Even now, get a mushroom guide to tell you what you can eat. That person will do a better job than AI. All right, foragers, be careful. And I was telling you last week how to train your dogs to find mushrooms. Polka Dot Poodle has not yet found any mushrooms, but she does enjoy the searching, loves running around the woods with us. And so I'm thinking I might try a different dog because I do have four to choose from. And, you know, one might have more of an aptitude than the others. If you're looking to find out how to teach a dog to search for mushrooms or anything, listen to that show. I did that just a little while ago, talked all about it, how you use the find command. And I linked it to my YouTube, which is Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And that shows you exactly how to teach a dog to find and fetch, which is a great game for all dogs, even dogs who aren't foraging. It's a great game because when they get old or you're limited, you know, they have an injury or there's a reason they can't run around, you're waiting for a boat or a train or whatever, and you want to exercise his mind and keep him busy, but you can't, you don't have a lot of room. Find and fetch is the perfect game for a small backyard. The dog's still thinking and he's still behaving and he's still responding and he's still showing you what he can do, but it's without the high impact and the running around. He's still using his brain, though. In fact, maybe more than just seeing where it goes and getting it. So find is a great command to teach at any stage of a dog's life. Because when you need it, all of a sudden he's injured, or all of a sudden your dog that you thought was in his prime has now switched over to being a senior. Find and fetch is the best for those dogs. Okay, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back. And I'm going to talk about, let's see, crow versus seagull. Da-da-da-da. Epic battle. Okay, on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Crow versus seagull. Well, I was at the beach, and I was doing my usual observations to find the worst dog at the beach, baddest beach dog I was, and there were two contenders. Little Juanita, that I've talked about previously, as a good dog, now makes an appearance as a contender for worst dog at the beach, along with Penny, the tiny, tiny dog that's about the size of a Cocker Spaniel, but the owner insists it's a full Labradoodle. I don't think so. That's another matter. So here we have two dogs contending for the worst dog at the beach. What is Penny doing? Well, Penny is running all over everybody's blankets, digging around the frisbee when she wants someone to fetch it. And when she digs like that, she knocks sand on everybody behind her. Now, you might think that it's a shoe-in for Penny. You might think she's got it. But no, no, no. Worst owner at the beach this time around. I'm sad to say because I thought he was an upstanding dog owner. And now I'm kind of questioning it. Is the owner of Juanita. Because he had previously told me how he always keeps her in his bag, going up and down, how she's licensed and registered as a service dog, how he always takes her to the woods to use the washroom, that she's never a nuisance to anyone. Okay. And I saw him walking along the beach with her so far behind him that he could not see. And she went and did a little poo-poo, like a dog will do. And then he didn't see it, but she caught up to him and did another one, which he saw. But instead of scooping up the poop and the dog, he scolded her. He said, no, 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 no. He didn't pick her up. He didn't take her for a walk. He didn't take her to the woods. He didn't help her out with the problem. She has to go. If you've got a dog at the beach all day, you've got to take it to a place where it's allowed the bathroom, just like you want the bathroom when you're at the beach. I mean, it makes sense. So he wins this week because you can't do that. First of all, it's his mistake if she's bursting and she has to go on the beach. He should be guiding her to go in the right place and praising her. And if I was trying to train a dog to poop in the woods rather than on the sandy area where all the people are, I would take a small sample of the mistaken poop and put it where I want it. And then continually march her back to that spot every time we visit the beach and tell her how good she is when she goes. And this is a dog who wants to go in the woods. He just didn't give her the opportunity. Even after she had the two poops, he didn't go take her. He scolded her and then sat back down. So these two dogs, leaving mud and sand in their wake and hitting people with waves of blasts of dirty, wet sand and pooping wherever they want near towels and picnickers, they win. It's a tie, I think, for the worst dog at the beach. But the worst owner, I don't know. I'll have to see next year when I go back to that beach if these two guys are still there, if either of them has cleaned up their act. Okay, so two awards today for worst dog at the beach. But while I was at the beach, there was a very epic battle going on between crow and seagull. And I always thought that seagulls were fairly clever. But now I'm not so sure. Because the crows down at the beach have really, really perfected stealing. They'll get into popcorn bags and potato chip bags, and they know how to get in a bag. They know that if it's a non-see-through bag, it's worth checking out because there might be something good in it. And I watched a crow find a leftover pizza piece in a paper kind of envelope bag and pull it out and eat it. But there was more pizza. And the seagull, who was quite a lot bigger than the crow, came over and dominated the crow, and the crow gave him the pizza. So clearly the seagull wants the pizza. But once the pizza was done, the seagull just sat around. It didn't have the will or the inclination or the idea to go look inside the bag. Now the crow, knowing that the seagull was just going to steal what he took, was pretending not to be interested for quite some time. And then a while later, the crow went in and found another, you know, crumb of pizza, another little hacked off piece of pizza, and was eating it. And of course, the seagull came back and took it away from him. And this kept happening. And it was just so interesting to me that the seagull never saw him get the paper, which we all saw the seagull witnessed him go in and take the pizza out of the paper. And yet the seagull never did that maneuver himself, never thought to do that. Now, maybe you would say, well, he didn't have to. He just muscled it out of the crow. Yeah, but he was pretty eager to eat. And the crow was making him wait, 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 and pretending not to be interested. It was quite theatrical how the crow was going about other things. And the seagull just kept waiting. So the whole thing was really an interesting look at the different kinds of birds and the way they think and behave. And just another aspect to going to the beach. You got to keep your eyes open when you're at the beach, because you never know what you're going to see. And that brings me to something else. We're going to talk a little bit about bears, because I was picking pears and apples at my friend's house. She asked me to do it, said if I gave her a bag of each, I could have as many as I wanted, and the trees were overloaded. But the reason she wanted them all picked is because the bears keep coming to her house. The bears are there all the time, day and night, and the local dogs are barking at them, and it's disruptive. And basically, they want the fruit gone because they want the bears gone. So I'm walking around the property, picking apples and picking pears. And I notice that there's one pile of bear scat poop at each fruit tree. Just one. There's also a pile of bear scat down at the corner of the driveway next to the trash, where the trash goes. Empty cans are there. So there's one poop at each coveted place, which to me is classic dog marking behavior. That is wolf, coyote, dog, mine. That is mine, and you do not touch it. That is my tree. Now, I spoke about that to a hunter I know, and I said, you know, look, the bear's marking the tree. And no, he just had to go. Oh, he ate all that fruit, and then he had to go. And I'm thinking about that. If he ate loads of fruit and he had to go, wouldn't there be several piles like this? I mean, the bears are here, the lady told us, a couple times a day and in the evening. They come and go all the time. They're always there, frequent visitors. Wouldn't they poop more than once? Maybe they don't want to poop where they eat. Maybe they don't want to step in it. He's like, are you kidding me? They just poop wherever they are. Does a bear poop in the woods? Yes, a bear poops in the woods. But if a bear chooses to poop only once beside each treasure, that tells me they're marking it. To tell everyone else, you know what? If you eat these pears, if you come back to this tree, you might find me. So beware, that's my tree. And I totally get that. That is the truth. You cannot convince me otherwise, Hunter Man. All right, so we're going to go to break and come back, and I'm going to talk about two dogs stealing and why they do that, because I had a question about it. And I'm going to talk about a new movie just a little bit. So stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I was watching the preview, the commercial for the Superman movie, and it got me. I'm going to have to see this movie. Now, I do like superhero movies. I really do. But this one, well, he's lying in the snow, Superman is, and he's unconscious. And he barely registers. He barely starts to wake up from whatever's happened to him. I don't know. You assume the bad guy's giving him a good wallop. So he's there, and he's coming to, and he holds out his arm. And this little white dog comes along with a cape. And he says to his dog, Superman says to his dog, Krypton, take me home. Take me home, Krypton. Oh, my gosh. They got me. They got me. I have to see this movie now. Krypton, the little dog, is strong enough to take Superman home. Does he fly him home? How does this work? And was the dog rescued from Krypton the same way Superman was? Is the dog vulnerable to the rock from the old planet? Oh, they've got me. They got me with the dog. I'm going to have to see it. I wonder how many of you have seen it. If you've seen it, let me know. Is it a good movie? Will I like it as a dog lover? The dog better not get killed. I hate it when they do that in a movie. They make you love the dog, and then near the very end, they kill it, or they hurt it, or they injure it, just to give you that extra feel so you'll be extra attached and engaged. Sometimes I walk out. I don't like it. I didn't even like it. And years and years ago when I was a kid, when the Walt Disney movie Benji and that bad guy kicked Benji, that was enough for me to want to leave. Okay, so that's my superhero moment. Now, we had a question. This lady has four dogs. It's actually her son has two dogs and she has two dogs. And she wants to know why, when they're all together, there seems to be a pattern to stealing. So she can feed, she's kind of described it, it's a little bit like a chess game, but she can feed certain dogs with each other and there's no stealing. But certain other dogs will steal from each other. And what she doesn't understand is two older females seem to steal from the youngest female. Well, that makes sense. But they don't steal from the young male. But the youngest female will steal from the young male. The young male will growl at the older females, but not at the younger female. The younger female never growls at anyone. And the two bigger girls, who are really not that big, they're all the same size, but they're older. The two older girls steal. So why is this happening? Okay, this is called pecking order. That's what this is. The bottom of the heap is that female, and she will let anybody take her food. She's kind of got a share policy going on. She'll take her, the boys' food, and she'll let the girls take her food, and she thinks food is a shared thing. At the bottom of the pack, a coyote or a wolf would not get to choose what they ate. They would get what's left to them. So it would be a sharing, and they would not get first grab. They would get what nobody else wants, or if there's loads, they'd get a share, but they'd eat last. So that's her position. That's why everybody steals from her. Now, why does the boy not let them steal? Well, in this scenario, he is the only boy. So that makes a difference. The girls have a pecking order amongst them, and the boys have a pecking order separate amongst them. And since there's no other boy, he's the top boy. As little and young as he might be, he's still top boy if he's the only one. So his personality dictates whether he's going to share or not share. And I don't know from this if he's intact, but if he is intact, he's not going to share. If he's neutered, he's probably going to share. Now, why does he let the little female take from him? Probably because he thinks she's his mate. So if they're not If they're not spayed and neutered, you got to watch that, because the second he gets a chance, she'll be pregnant. So watch out for that. All right, thank you to the listener who wrote that. I wish you didn't want to remain anonymous, because I'd love to say who you are and where you're calling from. But thank you again. I love to get the letters and I love to get the questions, so please keep them coming. All right, for me, Deb Wolf and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.